Hello and welcome to the Commander's Quarters. I'm your host, Mitch. Glad to have you here. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about Commander on a budget. Today we have an episode of Commander's Two Cents. On episodes like these, I give you my own personal take on topics about the format in general and current news. This show and episodes like this one are possible thanks to viewers like you. If you're looking for an easy way to help support this show, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Also, hit that bell notification icon so you don't miss any new episodes. And while you're at it, subscribe and review our podcast as well. You can also go check out our playmats and other merchandise at thecommanderscourters.com. Another easy way to support this show is with our TCG player affiliate links. So whether you're buying a deck or individual cards, you can use this general link right here or one in the description. And the final way that you can support this show is by supporting us directly by becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, and I truly couldn't do this without all of their support. Hey everyone, Mitch coming in from the Commander's Quarters studio. Welcome to the show. So on today's episode, I'm going to be going over the best new cards from Jumpstart. Now, if you haven't already seen my episode on the best new cards from M21, go ahead and check that one out as well. The same kind of format where I'm going to be basically talking about cards that I'm not talking about, you know, best as in, you know, most competitive, going to be in CDH decks, you know, break the format kind of cards. I'm more so talking about really interesting and unique cards, ones that really stood out to me, ones that I think are going to be good and casual that can do some powerful and, yeah, really unique and fun things. So, yeah, that's kind of the premise of this. I'm going to take you through the card. I'm going to take you through potentially some similar cards that we've seen in the past or cards that can work really well with it, and maybe some decks or commanders that can work really well with it as well. So, yeah, that's pretty much the format for this episode. So, let's jump into it. First up, we've got Allosaurus Shepherd, a 1-1 elf shaman for a green. It can't be countered. Green spells you control can't be countered. And by paying 4 green-green until end of turn, each elf creature you control has base power and toughness 5-5 and becomes a dinosaur in addition to its other creature types. So, wow, this thing does a lot for just one mana. I mean, it can't be countered, first of all, so it protects itself. It protects all your other green spells, so if you're in a mono-green deck, this is just a, hey, yeah, blue control player over there, you're not countering any of my things. So, yeah, it can do a lot of things. And then also, it can be kind of like a finisher as well in an elf tribal deck, you know, by paying, you know, 6 mana if you're in an elf's deck, that's easy. You'll be able to turn all your elves into 5-5s. So, I mean, that's not necessarily like a pump. It's a power and toughness switch. But, you know, if your creatures, you know, elves are mostly small, so if they're all 1-1s, that's like a +4/+4, essentially. Turning into dinosaurs, I'm not sure exactly how relevant that is, but it's kind of flavorful and fun. One card that this reminded me of right away was Prowling Serpapard. That's a hard one to say. A 4/3 cat snake that costs 1 green-green. It can't be countered, and creature spells you control can't be countered. This sees playing a decent amount of green decks, actually, that are really heavily creature-focused. Yeah, because again, it protects itself, it can't be countered, and then creature spells you control can't be countered. This Allosaur Shepherd can kind of protect more or less depending on your deck when it comes to spells. Again, if you're in a mono green deck, it protects all your spells. If you're in a multicolor deck, it's not gonna protect, you know, creature spells of different colors or whatnot, like Prowling Serpapard does, but still extremely effective. It's kind of a combination between this Prowling Serpapard as well as Mere Entity is kind of how I see it. A 1/1 shapeshifter with changeling that costs 2 and a white. It has pay X until end of turn. Creatures you control have base power and toughness XX and gain all creature types. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's 1 mana on top of that, but basically it's kind of like putting 5 mana into that X. So yeah, I mean, Allosaurus Shepherd costs 6 to do it, to make your creatures 5/5s and dinosaurs. Mere Entity costs 5, essentially do the same thing and make them all creature types. It's somewhat similar. Again, it's kind of like a combination of these two cards. And again, it's just 1 mana, which is just absolutely absurd. I think this is definitely going to go into, I don't know, pretty much all elf decks, I would assume. But yeah, Reese the Redeemed is a good example of a commander that could use this. A 1-1 elf warrior that costs Selesnya. It has to pay 2 in Selesnya and tap it, put a 1-1 green and white elf warrior creature token into play. And then by paying 4 Selesnya and tapping it, for each creature token you control, put a token into play. That's a copy of that creature. So yeah. This can make a ton of elves. Again, you're making a lot of 1-1 elves, and then, you know, you can basically, you know, pump them all with your Allosaurus Shepherd, or basically, you know, making them into 5-5 dinosaurs and overrunning your opponents, you know, maybe having another way to give them trample or whatnot. But yeah, seems like a very interesting, unique, and powerful card for just 1 mana. So yeah, definitely an interesting new card from Jumpstart. Next up, let's go on to Blessed Sanctuary. An enchantment for 3 white-white. Says prevent all non-combat damage to be dealt to you and creatures you control. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, create a 2/2 white unicorn creature token. This enchantment does a lot. I mean, Preventing non-combat damage being dealt to you and creatures you control, that is something I think that needs to be pretty specific for what deck you're putting it in. There are obviously, you know, maybe if someone in your meta is running a burn deck of some sort, this could obviously kind of really hamper them. But I think more so going to be built, that part's going to be built around if your deck actually kind of requires it. And I'll talk about a deck that kind of works with that. But also being able to create creating token creatures every single time a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control can be huge. Mark of Asylum is a card that I think immediately kind of came to mind as a similar card to this one. It says prevent all non-combat damage to be dealt to creatures you control. It's an enchantment for one and a white. So it doesn't include that part of, you know, preventing the non-combat damage to you. But again, it's just kind of like that. And then kind of plus like a Genesis Chamber, an artifact that costs two and says whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield, if Genesis Chamber is untapped, that creature's controller creates a 1/1 colorless mirror artifact creature token. So this one also applies to your opponents, whereas Blessed Sanctuary does not. So obviously Blessed Sanctuary is better than that. But again, it's kind of like a melding of these two cards. I don't know if there's too many decks that kind of really will benefit a ton from both of these halves. But I mean, obviously it's nice to have both. But there are a lot of decks that can benefit from either half. Fire Song and Sunspeaker immediately came to mind as benefiting from the first one. A 4/6 Minotaur Cleric that costs 4, red and white. It says red instant sorcery spells you control have lifelink. Whenever a white instant or sorcery spell causes you to gain life, Fire Song and Sunspeaker deals 3 damage to our creature or player. These kind of decks generally run a lot of kind of like red damage-based board wipes, so dealing a ton of damage to creatures, to players. So basically, this kind of protects, you know, your creatures as well as you from any of that damage that you're going to be dishing out, which can be great. God Eternal Aketra is kind of on the other end of that, you know, more so benefiting from creating those unicorns. A 3/6 Zombie God with double strike that costs 3 white. The important part is whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 4/4 black zombie warrior creature token with vigilance. So yeah, again, this is on cast, actually, and Blessed Sanctuary is slightly better than that because that's whenever it enters. So if you have any blink effects or whatnot, that also helps with that. But yeah, it kind of plays with it where, you know, now whenever you cast, you know, a creature spell, you're basically getting, you know, a 4/4 zombie and then also getting a 2/2 unicorn. So every single time you cast a creature, you're getting 6 power total, which is huge. Next up, let's move on to Branching Evolution. It's an enchantment that costs 2 and a green. It says if one or more +1/+1 counters will be put on a creature you control, twice that many +1/+1 counters are put on that creature instead. So this is obviously an extremely powerful enchantment. There's a lot of decks that could use it. There's some other similar cards out there that are actually really expensive right now that do kind of multiple things. Obviously Doubling Season, but Primal Vigor is kind of more specific to +1/+1 counters. So let's go with that one. It's an enchantment for 4 and a green. It says if one or more tokens will be put onto the battlefield, twice that many of those tokens are put onto the battlefield instead. If one or more +1/+1 counters will be placed on a creature, twice that many +1/+1 counters are placed on the creature instead. So obviously it's just more so like that second half essentially doesn't involve tokens at all, but it does, you know, involve those counters. It costs 2 less than Primal Vigor, and I'm not sure exactly how expensive Branching Evolution is. I think the demand's probably going to be decently high because there are a lot of +1/+1 counter builds out there that could really use this. Obviously, you know, just basically being on an enchantment, it makes it a lot harder to deal with than if it's on, say, a creature or something else. So this is, it's hard to get rid of, and then also it really benefits you. It pretty much doubles up your effectiveness of your +1/+1 counter deck, making twice as many counters on anything, essentially with any kind of effect or spell that you have. Atraxa, Praetor's Voice is an example of a +1/+1 counter commander, although she can be built in many different ways. A 4/4 Angel Horror that costs green, white, blue, black, Flying Vigilance, Death Touch, Lifelink, everything, essentially. And then at the beginning of your end step, Proliferate. So that's kind of the main thing. Again, you basically, you know, you've got +1/+1 counters on all your creatures, you proliferate, you get another counter on them, and then, you know, your Branching Evolution is going to double that up. So you basically hit 2 +1/+1 counters for free at the end of each of your turn, or at the end of each of your turns, just for having both these in play and counters on your creatures. But now let's move on to Witch of the Moors. Witch of the Moors is a 4/4 human warlock with death touch that costs 3 black. It has, at the beginning of your end step, if you gain life this turn, each opponent sacrifices a creature and you return up to 1 target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Now, this one, I think, is pretty powerful. Could have been more powerful if it was at the beginning of all end steps, but that might be a little, not oppressive, but it could be pretty mean. But basically, yeah, that's a lot of value. I mean, it's very easy. There's plenty of commanders out there that, you know, will gain life for you or that are built around gaining life. And so, yeah, just having to gain, you know, any amount of life on your turn in order to get that effect can be very powerful. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, an edict for all your opponents. They're at the sacrifice a creature and then you get 1 creature back. So, yeah, that's a lot of value kind of generating just from gaining a life. The card that immediately came to mind to me that sees a decent amount of play actually in a lot of decks is Pal Siege. It's an enchantment for 3BB. When it enters the battlefield, choose Cons or Dragons. If you choose Cons, at the beginning of your upkeep, return target creature card from your grave to your hand. That's kind of more so the mode that that I think this kind of reminded me of, essentially. But basically, you know, just being able to continuously get creatures back from your graveyard can be huge, you know, especially if you've got creatures that have really good ETBs or really good leave the battlefield triggers or whatnot. You can keep getting them back over and over again, really utilizing them and kind of, you know, again, forcing your opponents to sacrifice creatures with which of the more is kind of on top of that is huge. One commander that stood out as a, you know, life gain commander that could use this is Aili, Eternal Pilgrim. A 2-3 core cleric with death touch that costs a white and a black. Pay one, sacrifice another creature, you gain life, equal to sacrifice creature's toughness. Basically, you know, you can really help utilize, you know, if your creature's got a leave the battlefield trigger, you know, you use that. You gain life, and then at the end of your turn, you know, you can get that creature back and make all your opponents sacrifice a creature. So yeah, that's just, it can really work well with that, I believe. Next up, let's move on to a different card that seems actually really powerful. I'm surprised they printed it in the way that they did, with Scholar of the Lost Trove, a 5/5 Sphinx of Flying that costs 5 blue-blue. When it enters the battlefield, you may cast target instant sorcery artifact card from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. If an instant sorcery spell be cast this way, put it in your graveyard this turn, exile instead. So, the thing about this one that really stood out to me, I had to reread it a couple times just to make sure it was worded in the right way, in the way that it is that it doesn't say when you cast it, like, or if you cast it from your hand. It's when it enters. So just blinking it lets you cast an instant or sorcery from your graveyard for free, or get an artifact back for free. There are plenty of ways to abuse this. There are a decent amount of decks that could really utilize this. I mean, that's an extremely powerful ETB. Basically, you know, the card that reminded me of the most for that instant sorcery part is like a Sins of the Past, a sorcery for 4BB that basically lets you, you know, cast an instant sorcery from your graveyard, you know, until the end of the turn for free. So yeah, basically. Or right away for free, but yeah, basically it gets you kind of, you know, an instant sorcery could be an extremely high value one that costs, you know, a ton of mana. Maybe on top of that, it also blinks your Scholar of Lost Trove, or, you know, you can keep kind of blinking over and over again. There's a lot of ways I think you can abuse this. I mean, especially in a blink deck like Brago King Eternal, a 2/4 Spirit with Flying that costs 2WB. When it deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target non-land permanents you control, then return those cards to the battlefield under their own control. Yeah. Blinking your Scholar of the Lost Trove every single turn, you've got plenty of other ways to do that, I'm sure, as well, can be huge. You can get, you know, huge artifacts out for free. You can cast a ton of instant sorceries for free for your graveyard. This thing seems pretty powerful. Again, it doesn't belong in every single deck, but decks that are, you know, going to be getting powerful instant sorcery cards in their graveyard as well as artifacts could really use this. Next up, let's move on to Immolating Gyre, a sorcerer for 4RR. It's going to deal X damage each creature and planeswalker you don't control, where X is the number of instant sorcery cards in your graveyard. So this is like Red's one-sided board wipe. I mean, there probably are other one-sided board wipes in Red. Actually, I'll go through one here in a second. But there aren't too many Red spells that just deal damage to your opponent's creatures and planeswalkers and not your own. And then also this one, I mean, it costs 6 mana, and it's kind of, it's a, not flexible, I guess, but it's one that, you know, has a variable amount of damage that it's going to be dealing out based on the number of instant sorceries in your graveyard. So if you're in a self-mill deck, maybe, or if you're in one that's a Spellslinger deck and you're going to be casting a ton of instants and sorceries, they're going to have a lot in your graveyard, and you're going to be able to deal an absurd amount of damage with this to the point where it's basically like, you know, a one-sided board wipe, like an Ingaric's Wake or something like that. But yeah, I guess the card that reminded me of first, I guess there's probably two. It's like a combination of multiple cards, again, kind of like some of the previous ones. The card that reminded me of first, though, was Volcanic Vision, a sorcerer for 5RR. Says return target instant sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. Volcanic Vision deals damage equal to that card's converted mana cost to each creature your opponents control. Exile Volcanic Vision. So this one doesn't hit planeswalkers, unlike the new Immolating Gyre, which is definitely, I mean, it can definitely help against, you know, Super Friends decks or, you know, kind of any planeswalker that just happens to be on the field. But yeah, and then this one is kind of different in its variable as to how much damage it's going to be dealing out. It does get you a card back, and it's based off that mana cost. So in a deck that's got a lot of high converted mana cost spells, you just need one in your graveyard versus having a lot of instant sorcery, so it's different in that way. Again, the combination kind of between Volcanic Vision and the other card that I'm going to bring up here, Rise from the Tides, is kind of what I'm seeing. It's a sorcery for 5 and a blue. It says create a tap 2/2 black zombie creature token for each instant sorcery card in your graveyard. So again, this one kind of just benefits you based on the kind of vast amount of instant sorceries in your graveyard. This is a fantastic finisher. Whereas Immolating Gyre can be just a great one-sided board wipe that really sets you up to win the game as well. So yeah, it's an interesting take on kind of a Red Wrath that really is kind of graveyard-focused. or focused on, you know, just casting a ton of instant sorceries and getting them in your graveyard. So kind of like a Spellslinger commander, maybe, or like a Storm commander, like a Mizzix of the Ismagnus. A 2-2 Goblin Wizard that costs 2 blue red. Whenever you cast instant sorcery spell with converted mana, it costs greater than the number of experience counters you have, you get an experience counter. Instant sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast for each experience counter you have. You're going to be casting a ton of instant sorceries at this deck. So yeah, at a certain point, you're probably going to get to 4 or more experience counters, making your Immolating Gyre just cost 2 mana. So yeah, 2 mana to just basically, you know, have a one-sided board wipe can be huge for a deck like that. The last card that I want to bring up is actually part of a cycle of the Thriving Land. So Thriving Isle, it's a land when it enters battlefield, it enters tapped. As it enters the battlefield, choose a color other than blue and tap it to add blue or the one mana of the chosen color. There's one land of each of the colors, essentially. So basically, yeah, this is a modal land that, you know, you can basically help really, you know, fix your mana early and choose kind of exactly what color that you need. I did like an entire episode actually on basically how good the Thriving Lands are. But yeah, so if you want to check that out, I did some comparisons to other lands, you know, other lands that might enter the battlefield tapped, other budget-friendly lands. But yeah, I think the Thriving Lands are going to be fantastic budget cards. I hope they are in state budget. Again, they're in the common slot, so hopefully Wizards, you know, reprints these in other products as well to kind of keep their costs down. But yeah, I think that Jumpstart had a lot of cool and unique cards for Commander. I, in all honesty, was pretty surprised, you know, that that this kind of set that kind of came out of nowhere had a decent focus on some pretty cool Commander cards. But yeah. Let me know in the comments below what your thoughts on my picks are. Are there any cards that I missed? Let me mention this. I should have mentioned this before, but I wasn't going to bring up any of the commanders. I might be doing that on a separate episode. This one is just, you know, cards in the 99 that I think are going to be really fun and effective and, you know, the best from the set. So, yeah, let me know in the comments below what your thoughts are. And as always, thanks again and have a good one. And make sure you're following us on social media for more updates and sneak peeks on future episodes. Again, a huge thank you to my patrons who helped make this show possible. I truly couldn't do any of this without your support. If you want to support this channel directly, consider becoming a patron. There are many benefits to being a patron, including being able to vote on future commanders for deck techs. There are even tiers where you get your own personalized deck tech dedicated to you. You can check out all the Patreon tiers and rewards at patreon.com/commandersquarters. If you haven't already, make sure that you like and subscribe to the channel. Here at the Commander's Quarters, we're all about budget commander. So while you're at it, go ahead and check out some of our other types of episodes. And with that, I'm out of here. Thanks again and have a good one.